I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some soil chemistry. If you're really interested, you can go to any good soil chemistry text and read about this. Gary Sposito's text, Don Sparks, or Bone McNeil and O'Connor, for example, any one of those. And I'm going to start with a summary. Sodicity means excess sodium on the soil exchange complex. It reduces plant growth and negatively affects soil structure, and that's why we're adding gypsum. Sodium is a large monovalent cation. It expands the thickness of the swarm of cations in solution that are balancing the net negative charge on clays and presumably on organic matter. The expanded layer forces these clay particles apart. This is seen in soils as swelling and dispersion. Application of gypsum helps to replace the sodium and reduce the negative effects of that sodium produces. A few details as we move along. Clay minerals are mostly negatively charged to different extents depending on the minerals and depending on the soil pH. Cations, mostly cations, in the soil solution are retained in the water film near the surface of colloidal clay particles. Cation retention is typically beneficial because it reduces the loss of essential plant nutrients such as calcium, magnesium, potassium, and sodium, but too much of a good thing is not good, so too much sodium becomes a problem. And this is where we get into the idea of sodic soils, and if you look at the salinity lab work, they say, well, sodium percentage, exchangeable sodium percentage greater than 15 with solution electrical conductivity less than 4 decisiemens per meter is what a sodic soil is all about. That number 15 really is a function of plant response to the sodium, not necessarily soil response. So a soil with 1, 2, 3% exchangeable sodium and low electrical conductivity can have structural problems. So electrical conductivity is below 1, rainwater or some high-quality irrigation water can really produce some serious problems. Sodic soils tend to have high pH, above 8.5, because of the hydrolysis of sodium carbonate. And high pH in carbonate results in precipitation of calcium and magnesium. This is a figure from Singer and Munns, an introductory soil text. And the main thing to look at, if I can get this, how do I get this guy over here? Here. The expanded amount of cations away from the surface of the clay minerals when you're dealing with monovalent ions changes and is collapsed with divalent cations. And that's really how calcium sulfate works, is to replace the sodium and collapse that that double layer. And the lower two figures, the cartoons, show this difference. The left-hand cartoon shows that when you have primarily monovalent cations, the clay particles are pushed apart due to the repulsion of the cations one to the other, whereas with divalent cations, the repulsion is much less. This you have to be thinking along the lines of structure, soil structure as well, and the model of Tisdale and Oates from 1982 is really a very good one to help explain some of the impacts of sodium, in particular if you look at this lower image at the 2/10 of a micron size range. These tactoids, these groups of clay particles, there can be swelling and dispersion both within and between tactoids. And calcium sulfate helps to remove the sodium and reduce both the within and between tactoid swelling. I'm an old guy and this is old work, right? This is not mine. Gouy and Chapman worked on double layer theory back at the turn of the last century. And these are two key references that you may want to look at to see the very earliest work. The main idea here is that the counter-ion charge, the counter-charge of ions, balancing the charge of the colloids, is a diffuse atmosphere or a compact layer of bound charge together with a diffuse cloud or atmosphere of charge around the clay minerals. This diffuse double layer says that cations are attracted to and anions are repelled by negatively charged soil colloids, and these interactions are described by Coulomb's law, which you can review at your leisure. Coulomb's law says that the strength of ion retention or repulsion is a function of a number of factors. It increases with increasing ion charge, it increases with increased colloid charge, and it increases with decreasing distance between the colloid surface and the source of charge. And this helps to explain why divalent calcium is successful when it replaces monovalent sodium on the exchange complex. The Stern improved the Gouy-Chapman model by assuming that some of the ions are tightly held close to the colloid surface, that strongly hydrated ions, such as sodium, are more tightly held in the Stern layer compared to more loosely hydrated ions that have higher concentrations in the diffuse layer. There are a number of assumptions in Gouy-Chapman, most of which don't hold, and yet the theory seems to work. Exchangeable cations exist as point charges. We know that's not true. Colloid surfaces are not planar or infinite in extent, and surface charge is not necessarily distributed uniformly over the entire colloid surface. These may balance each other in a way that the Gouy-Chapman theory still works. It's a good description of what happens at that layer, at that level. Clay particles are not rigid, nor are they flat. Soils are rarely monomineralic. Soils contain iron oxyhydroxides and organic matter that are not considered as part of this clay-ion interactions. And most of these assumptions make the Gouy-Chapman theory shouldn't work, but in fact, it works just fine. Just a moment to show you a little bit of data. Just look at two curves. This is from Flanagan, Norton, and Chainberg. And you can see with phosphogypsum, if I can get this thing here, phosphogypsum, the infiltration rate during the rainstorm is maintained higher than when just distilled water is rained on the surface. And that's because the presence of phosphogypsum helps to remove sodium and reduce dispersion and swelling of clay minerals. So in conclusion, this very rapid run through some elegant soil physical chemistry, replacement of a monovalent cation, sodium, with a divalent cation reduces the thickness of the diffuse double layer, promotes flocculation and aggregate stability, as predicted by diffuse double layer theory that was promulgated over a century ago. Thank you for your attention.